Good morning. It's so good to see all of you in God's house today as we gather in this place to worship the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We sing His praise and majesty today. Would you join as we sing? Choir's going to begin in a moment, and I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for all Your many blessings You have poured out on us. We surely don't deserve the great love, the grace, and the mercy that You have bestowed upon us, but we're so thankful for it. We just want to express our gratitude to You right here and right now. We want to acknowledge Your presence, the presence of Your Holy Spirit in this place. We desire, Lord, that You would encourage us and strengthen us and draw us into a deeper relationship with You. I pray that You'll bless each person and minister to their needs. Lord, we've got some hurting families in our church, and we pray that You'd come close to them and minister to their beings and help them to find strength and power and comfort in Your precious holy name and in Your presence. We thank You, Lord, that You fill us, and we ask You to do that now. Teach us now through Your word as we examine it today, as Brother Joel delivers the message, and we're asking, Lord, that You would do a mighty work in us and help us to be proclaimers of the good news wherever we go. And Lord, help us to take initiative and go where You would have us to go. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let's worship the Lord together. Stand together and worship the Lord. I've got Carson Brown going to come and lead us in the hymns this morning. And so Carson is our music intern. He and I are going to swap places for a minute. But I don't know, the choir notices this because each week as Carson is doing our sound, I have him up there singing and directing all the hymns. I don't know, for some reason, come a little closer. For some reason, young people today don't know as many of the hymns. But Carson is not one of those because he's learning them with us every week as we sing. And I guess what, a couple of years ago before you started this, you didn't know this many hymns, did you? So, but Carson, Amazing Grace was his hymn. But anyway, he's doing a great job. He's going to lead us today, so you encourage him. And let's worship the Lord together as Carson leads us. Thank
you. Would you flip to your hymnals to hymn number 10 as we sing Majesty.
Yeah. welcome you. Glad you're part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Thank you, Carson, for leading us in worship today. Here's what we did in the early worship. It's so hot. It is so hot and it is so sticky outside. And so that kind of spills over to some degree in here. So we talked about the fact that when we breathe as human beings, so it produces body heat. So when we're breathing, we're producing body heat. So what we decided in early worship was that nobody was going to breathe during the whole worship service. So you can only breathe when you're finished and when we got out of the sanctuary into our Sunday school. So that's what we're going to do in this service too. We don't have as many people in here, but still we're producing body heat. So just don't breathe until we're done and everything will be fine. One of the young mothers came up to me afterwards. She said, "Thanks for nothing." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I spent the entire, didn't hear that sermon. I spent the entire worship service telling my son, he's just joking. He doesn't mean for us to really not breathe." She said, "He tried to hold his breath the whole thing." I said, "Good for him. Hey, somebody's listening to me." All right, welcome each other. We're glad you're here. Good to have you today.
Faith and not by sight. We'll
next hymn is hymn number 526, and it's The Solid Rock. We're going to stay seated for the first three stanzas, and on the last we'll stand.
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of our many blessings. Lord, we ask you to be with those who are not with us today, those that are sick. Lord, we ask you to, as always, watch over our military and foreign souls and at home. Lord, we ask you to bless our country. Lord, give us the things we need here in this country to be on them, get on the correct path and Lord, follow your will. Lord, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings today and bless them to the furthest of your kingdom. In your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you.
this song is just kind of what we need right now. Brother Joel's message goes along with it in a strong way as we think about our world today and our need for the Lord. Jan Lundquist has been singing solo on this one for ever since we've done it. And Mr. Lewis Stewart used to sing this, and we definitely miss him. And Roy Bryant is taking over as the solo. And so we hope that you'll be blessed. And you're welcome to sing along with us if you'd like to.
Choir, and that song says we're going to need him in the good, we're going to need him in the bad. All times we have our faith and our trust in God the Father. So great song opening the word today, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 verses 29 through 38. The great thing about this is such an important text for the body of Christ, and it has been for 2,000 years, because the writer of Hebrews gives us from A to Z in this great passage of Scripture. So we have incredible miracles of God that God has provided. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the parting of the Red Sea, over and over and over again. He tells us, I don't even have time to go through all of the miracles that God is, where God intervenes in his own creation and provides a miracle that can only be explained other than that was a miracle. But then he also gives other examples of those who were tortured, sawed in two, those who literally lost their lives because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because of their faith in God the Father. And they were looking beyond the here and now to the resurrection. So we have A all the way to Z in this great passage of Scripture that teaches us what faith really is. Very important text for the body of Christ, and it always has been. Hebrews 11, verses 29 through 38. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, who was not destroyed with the people in her city, who refused to obey God, but she did, she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Why? Because she had put her faith in God. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all of the prophets. By faith, these people, they overthrew kingdoms, they ruled with justice, they received what God had promised them, they shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, they escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle. They even put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured. They refused to turn from God in order to be set free, talking about being set free here in this world. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at. Others had their backs cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison cells. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. So what we find is A to Z when it comes to our faith in Christ Jesus. Christians and non-Christians alike, both, can and often do have what I would call defective views of what faith really is and what faith is really all about. So our main goal for preaching the Word of God is for the power of the Holy Spirit to leap off of the pages and to draw us to the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. But preaching also has other desires and other aims. And one of the other aims that we have when we preach the Word of God is for us as the body of Christ to be able to view God and His ways and have God's ways in line with biblical truth. So we do this for unbelievers, so that they can embrace Christianity on the base of truth rather than their own cultural worldview. You and I know that if you have a cultural worldview, it's impossible to see with the eyes of faith. When you have a cultural worldview, it's impossible to see with the spiritual eyes and to hear with spiritual ears with faith in God the Father. So we pray and we preach And we teach Sunday school, and all the things that we do, we are trying to help those who don't know Christ as Savior and Lord embrace the truth rather than their distorted, defective view from this world. But we do that for believers as well, because we want believers to live their lives based on biblical truth, not the defective lies from the world. And then we also want believers to have a clear biblical understanding of what faith really is, as opposed to all of this gobbledygook that happens in the body of Christ when it comes to the bad understanding of faith. And that is all that's been for 2,000 years. The body of Christ has struggled with this whole issue of faith. What is it? What am I to do with this thing called faith in God through Christ Jesus? So this passage of Scripture, I said this morning in early worship, let me just read this for you, because this is what I wrote. It's not good enough, all right? So as I was writing it, I was thinking, this isn't good. It needs to be more than what I'm trying to say. But this is what I wrote. This passage is tremendously important because it provides a true picture of faith and what kind of life that kind of faith guarantees. All right, that's not good enough. To say that it's just tremendously important for us as the body of Christ is not strong enough. It's not big enough. It's more than just tremendously important. This great passage of Scripture is defining for who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ when it comes to our faith. So we've discussed the fact that there are, in our study of Hebrews on Wednesday nights, and even in some of our Sunday mornings that we've been going through Hebrews 11, we've kind of alluded to the fact that oftentimes, as the body of Christ, we have this defective view of faith. So for many people, faith is just simply what you need in order to get what you want from God. It's currency. If you just have enough faith and you get what you want from God. And the problem is the fact that you don't have enough faith. So if you will just have enough of this thing called faith, this currency, then you can make God do whatever it is that you want to make God do. If you want more money, have enough faith. God will provide it. If you want health, have more faith. God will provide it. If you want prosperity, have more faith. God will provide it. If you want a husband, if you want a wife, if you want a good job, if you want this, if you want that, whatever it is, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. Just fill in the blank with whatever that is. Then all you've got to do is have more faith. And if you'll simply have more faith, you will be able to get whatever it is that you want from God. And that is a common theme that has run through the body of Christ for 2,000 years. That's the way I grew up believing. I don't have what I want because I don't have enough faith. If I'll just ever get enough faith, I'll get the things that I want. Let's just say that I go to Birmingham and I go to the PGA Superstore. It's got everything you could ever want for golf. I mean, whatever you want, they've got it. So I walk into the PGA Superstore and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just awesome. New irons, a new driver, a new three metal, a new putter. Oh my goodness, a new golf bag. This is golf attire for the summer, golf attire for the fall, golf attire for the winter, golf balls, training aids. I mean, it's just everything that you could ever want, that a golfer could ever want or desire. This PGA Superstore, guys, is just huge. And it's just whatever a golfer could ever want. And I walk in and, I want new irons and I want this. The problem is that you have to have money in order to get those things. So I need currency. Boy, how am I going to get my hands on thousands upon thousands of dollars that I want for all this new stuff that I want from the PGA Superstore? So I can steal the money, I can borrow the money, I can move money around in different accounts, but I gotta walk in there knowing that I'm gonna have to pay for all of this stuff that I want for my golf game, that I need, that I desire for my golf game. That's the way oftentimes the body of Christ, Christians, treat faith. It is just simply their currency. Walk in, God, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, and I need currency in order to get those things. So my currency is my faith, and if I have enough of it, then I'll get God to move and do whatever it is that I want God to do. For them, it is simply the justification of a lot of our sinful greed. My pride, my greed, my sinful nature wants all of these things. So I'll justify my sinful behavior by twisting scripture, and faith then becomes the culprit. So it is our goal in Hebrews 11, as we're walking through this on Sunday mornings, it is my goal to preach real, authentic, biblical view of faith. And this passage of Scripture is so foundational and so important for our correct understanding biblically of faith. So in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to do what I never do, and that is, I'm going to bring out 5 points, which I never, ever do. This is more kind of a lecture than it is anything. Most of my sermons have 1 point. I want you to walk out of these doors and get in your car and go home, go to lunch, take a nap this afternoon, whatever it is that you do, and I want to just drill 1 point in your head so that all day long you can just be thinking of that one thing. Because when I hear sermons, if I hear a 45-minute sermon that's got 10 points to it, it just jumbles this brain of mine and I get nothing. So I try to just get this 1 point, but today I just can't go through this without several points. First of all, this: through our faith, God can and God does work miracles and acts of providence to bring practical, earthly help and deliverance for His people. That's the whole point of verses 29 through 35. Now, what do I mean by miracles? I mean God steps in to the and does this extraordinary interruption in the natural cause-effect way that nature works, that God set it up in creation. The writer, for example, refers to the parting of the Red Sea, the falling down of the walls of Jericho, the shutting of the mouths of lions in the lion's den for Daniel, the quenching of the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they walked through Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, the resurrection of the son of the widow of Zarephath. So all of these we call miracles. God breaks into the normal way that things work, the normal way that He set it up in creation, and in this extraordinary, extraordinary act of God, He makes those things work differently. And when that stuff is done, the Red Sea, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, and then we move into the New Testament and we find Jesus being raised from the dead. So God steps into the natural, normal way that He created things. And when those things are done, then we have no other word to say other than that was a miracle of God. God Himself stepped into time and space, and God created a miracle of His grace. That's one way that God works through faith, but He also works by acts of providence. God works through acts of providence to control situations, but in less extraordinary ways. For example, the writer refers to Rahab not perishing because she had heard of the power of the God of Israel and she cared for the Jewish spies. David conquering kingdoms, establishing righteousness. Elijah escaping the sword of Jezebel. Gideon being strengthened in weakness. So in all of these cases, God is the one who is working, and what we would say, God is doing the work behind the scenes, but no miracles are obvious. So God in His providential nature works behind the scenes. And the point of all of these wonderful acts, both miracles and ordinary acts of providence, they come how? They come to us by our faith. God works through faith to do miracles and acts of providence for practical earthly help and deliverance for His people. Second, God does not always work miracles and acts of providence for our deliverance from suffering, but the exact opposite is true. Sometimes God sustains his people through suffering. That's the whole point of verses 35 through 38. Or another way to put it would be to say that having true faith in God is no guarantee of comfort and security in this life. Sometimes God sustains his people through horrendous sufferings. And we see that in the Old Testament. The prophets, over and over and over again. We move to the New Testament. We see the Apostle Paul. We see Peter. We see the apostles. We see story after story after story where God did not provide a miracle. God did not work behind the scenes in a providential way in that sense. But what God did was he gave his people sustaining grace through horrendous, terrible sufferings. Right now, as I preach this word, there are people all over this world, literally, the moment as I'm preaching this sermon, there are people all over this world that are enduring torture and suffering and murder because of their faith in Christ Jesus. All over the world. And God, in a miraculous way, is sustaining all of them through horrendous suffering. Third, having faith is not the ultimate determining factor in whether you suffer or escape. God is the determining factor, not me. And what a great relief, because I grew up in a world where you got to have more faith. If you'll have more faith, all these good things, it's all about having more faith, more faith, more faith, more faith. So what a great, beautiful picture it was for me to realize that there is a higher explanation for my pain and there is a higher explanation for my pleasure than I have whether or not I have enough faith. We will not look into the face of the dying and say, well, if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't be dying. Oh, no, 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 no. What we will say is this: trust in God. Because whether you live by faith or whether you die by faith, God will take care of those who trust in him. Paul said it this way: to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's God's decision, not mine and not yours. Fourth, the common feature of the faith that escapes suffering and the faith that endures suffering is this: both of them involve believing that God himself is better than what life can give you now, and God himself is better than what death is going to take away from you later. When you have it all, faith says God is better. This is not enough. This is not my home. When you have everything that you could ever want, your heart's desire, God is better. And when it is all taken from you, and even if it's at death, but at some point it will all be taken from us. But when it is all taken from us, faith says God is better. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Faith believes that there is a resurrection. I'm waiting on something bigger, better, stronger, faster, something that will give me eternal life. And faith believes that there is a resurrection for believers that is better than any miracle of escape. Fifth, those who love God more than life and those who suffer willingly because they know the resurrection is coming. There's a better day. Those who know that this world is not our home and they suffer willingly waiting for a resurrection that will come at some point, those people, like the Apostle Paul, are God's gift to Joel. That's God's gift. That's a gift. Those who suffer willingly because of the resurrection that's coming, They are a gift to the body of Christ, and they have been for 2,000 years, and they will be until Jesus comes again. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. That's awesome. They wandered over deserts and mountains. They hid in caves and holes in the ground. That is the exact opposite of what this world is going to teach you. That is the exact opposite. You could not have more different teachings from the world that I live in to the biblical truth than that word right there. And yet, that is the truth of Scripture. It's not the truth according to the American culture. The American culture would listen to this sermon and say, he's nuts. He's crazy. You're nuts to listen to him. Paul says in Romans 11, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions and his ways? For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. John Stott, a great theologian, looking at this great, not just this passage of Scripture, but Hebrews 11 in general, had this to say. Faith is utterly in love with all that God will be for us beyond the grave. Listen to that. Faith, this connection that we have with God the Father through faith in His Son. So this connection that we have with the Creator of all of the universe, the Creator of all that is, and this connection that we have with God through faith in what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. Faith is utterly in love with all that God will be for us beyond the grave. Faith loves God more than life. Faith loves God more than family. Faith loves God more than job or retirement plans or ministry or writing books or building the dream house or making the first million. Faith says, whether God handles me tenderly or God gives me over to torture, I love Him. He is my reward. He is the builder of the city that I long for. He is the treasure beyond the riches of Egypt and the possession that surpasses all others and abides forever. That is to say this, church, faith says, God, I trust you. Period. Father, thank you for a powerful word from a powerful text that shows us everything. Miracles beyond what these little bitty pea brains can ever even fathom. And torture for the cause of Christ beyond what our minds can understand. All for the sake of the gospel. Faith in God the Father. Thank you for that powerful truth. So, Father, help us to put our faith and our trust in you and who you are. To realize that faith is more than just currency to get what we want from you, but it is our trust in you and you alone. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we can trust you by faith. Repent of our sins. Turn to Jesus. Trust Him for our salvation. And then spend the rest of our lives saying, Lord, I trust you with all things. Thank you, Father, for faith that you provide for us as your children. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to sing Trust and Obey, our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord today, then that's where we're at. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. So we encourage you to do that. Dave, if you need to come and pray or join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing. Be seated real quickly. First of all, we had coming this morning Chris and Ashley Hoggle. Chris grew up right here in Gunnersville, a part of the Methodist Church all his life, but Chris and Ashley come today saying they know Christ as their Savior and Lord, and they are uniting with First Baptist Church Chris from the Methodist Church here in town. So they came today. Would you see Chris and Ashley, make sure that you say a word of encouragement to them as they come to join with First Baptist Church. All right, next. All right, so this afternoon, we got a big, big sprinkle going on this afternoon for Morgan and Jonathan and Reggie and Ken's new grandson. So that will be from 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the fellowship hall. And so celebrating Reggie coming into the Odell family. So that'll be this afternoon. All right, next. Men's ministry. Brian Harrell, Elliot Rowe, they've been working on starting men's ministry back with a fellowship breakfast, prayer breakfast. The first one will be September 9. You'll hear more about that. Right now, just go ahead and men put it on your calendar, and we'll tell you more about that as we get there. All right. The Western Roundup, what a fun night for our mature adults. It always is. September the 12th, 5 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Sons of the Pioneer will be singing and leading in that time of celebration. You see the menu sign-up sheet on the old Lord's Supper table out there. So go ahead and start signing up. That's always a big night for our mature adults. All right, that's it. Ken, what do you got?
Yes, we're getting ready to start the new choir year and music year. And so our choir is going to begin learning some Christmas songs and some new material as well. We'll be starting children's choir very soon. The first Monday after Labor Day will be when we kick off. We'll have sign-up sheets available soon, probably next Sunday. And looking forward to having a great year with children's choir. We're also going to put together a multi-generational choir, which is basically all the singers in the church who are interested in being a part. So if you would like to do that, maybe you can't commit to be a part of another choir, then please let me know. Also, some of our teenagers are here today. We'll be starting youth choir back up. Got some good Christmas music for you guys to learn and sing for our church.
All right, we got a lot coming up in September. Roy Bryant and Mike Maley are going to start a Tuesday night. They'll start Tuesday night, September the 12th, Bible Study Fellowship. a great ministry, and it's a study for men on the book of John. And so that will start in September. September is Tuesday night, September the 12th. That is going to be a great a discipleship program. Tim Hayes and Jackie Hester are going to be leading the Andy Griffith Bible study on Wednesday night. Starts Wednesday night, September the 13th. And so that Bible study has been around for a long time. You kind of watch an episode of Andy Griffith, and then you talk about, you talk about all of the different biblical applications for that. So it's really, really good. Now, not in the bulletin, Whitney Mashton is going to be starting a discipleship program for women, and we'll get that to you, but that's going to start in September as well. September the 10th, we're starting a new Sunday school class for young adults, couples and singles, and we've got a ton of young couples that aren't in P27. They're not in enrichment, and we've got about 40 or more of them that just are not involved in Sunday school. So Kevin and Amy Hawk have agreed and are excited about taking on this new group. And so Karen and I are working right now trying to get all of that in the database and how we're going to communicate. So we'll be communicating to them in the next few weeks. Quarterly meeting for Koinonia, our FBC women, September the 10th, 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. So ladies, put that on your calendar as well. So just got a lot going on. For those of you that remember Gloria Collins. So Gloria, Bill and Gloria Collins, Bill's First Baptist, Gloria Church of Christ. And Gloria has been sick for a long, long, long time. And I'm glad Bill Kane called me yesterday afternoon. I did not even know that Gloria had passed away. So Gloria Collins passed away. So the visitation is 1 to 2, funeral at 2, all at the Church of Christ. So be in prayer for Bill and for their family and all of their children. Next Sunday, thank you. Yeah, I see, I thought it was today. Yeah. So next Sunday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and then 2 o'clock is the funeral. Thank you. I appreciate that, Judy. All right.
Tell me about the ball game tomorrow
night. Oh, yeah. All right. So for those of you that don't know, real quick, First Baptist Church, we have one of the best softball teams in Marshall County. I'm not kidding. They are phenomenal, and they have been phenomenal for several years now. They rarely ever lose, ever. And they win just about every single one of the championships. Well, so many young men have been part of our church now. They all started, we want to play. So Warren and Kelly and all those guys put a second team together. So now we have two great softball teams. They play in Albertville, and they play on Monday night. Well, tomorrow night, First Baptist Church meets First Baptist Church out on the field, and there is already so much trash talking going on that it's more than my ears can even fathom. So my plan is at 6 o'clock tomorrow in Albertville on the big field. So they put FBC 1 and FBC 2 on the big field. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I got a feeling that if I do make it, I'm going to try everything I can to be there. If I do make it, the preacher's probably going to be trash talking more than anybody, any of the other players. It's going to be a lot of fun. So go to that if you'd like to see a lot of fun with First Baptist Church. All right, let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom